Could somebody say amen? Let me say we appreciate all of our online listening friends, and we want this year to be a year of hope for you, a year of hope for our community, a year of hope for our fellow churches around the area. I want God's kingdom to flourish no matter where it's at. Could somebody say amen? Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Notice how, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, it has been said that the only things worse than insanity are despair and hopelessness. That's the only thing worse than insanity. But praise the Lord, we serve a God of hope. We serve a God of hope. Now, I looked up that word hope, and in the Greek it means elpo, meaning to look forward to with pleasurable confidence and expectation. That's what it means. It means looking forward to with pleasurable confidence and expectation. What it means that you may have enough hope to spare, that your hope may be like the waves of the sea that's coming in and crashing the shore, just wave after wave, year after year, then waves come in. I mean, that's like hope. Hope's coming in. Can somebody say amen? He's speaking about a supply of hope that is overflowing, excessive, and beyond measure. Amen. That's what I expect. That's what I believe the Lord brought to my heart for 2024 this year, for this church, these ministries, and the ministries under the sound of my voice. We want that to be for you. I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, blessing, surely blessing I'll bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He waited about 24 years, but Isaac was born when he was past the years of giving seed, and Sarah was past the year of receiving seed. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. That immutability means unchangeable, not susceptible to change. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that's set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Rather, the forerunner is entered, even Jesus Christ, made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. You may be seated in the Lord's presence, and may the Lord give his word this morning from his heart through his servant. Nothing can take away the believer's hope. Can somebody say amen? We can't let anything take away our hope. Hebrews 6:18 says, by two immutable things that can't change. God made a promise and he swore by it, in which it was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, that's you and I, to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. Amen. And that is the hope of salvation, the hope of eternal life. God made that oath And he's not going to break it because he cannot lie. How many have realized the Lord is not a man, God is not a man that he should repent, nor the Son of Man, not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. He can't lie. Verse 19 says, our hope is an anchor of the soul. It's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Christ attached the anchor of hope directly to the throne of God. Our anchor of hope that he swore by two immutable things, amen, it is directly connected to the throne of God. That's hope. Can somebody say amen? You know, in Genesis chapter 22, we read the story about the time that God spoke to Abraham, and he told Abraham, he said, I want you to take your only son, Isaac, take him to a place that I'll show you. It's a place called Yonder. Take him there and offer him as a burnt offering to me. I don't think he talked to Sarah about this. I think he let that lay where it's at. He said, I want you to take him to Mount Moriah and offer him to me as a burnt offering. You know what? He had waited 24 years for that boy. He said, take the one you, Isaac, the one you love, the one that's closest to your heart, the heir of promise, the one you waited for, and offer him as a burnt offering to the Lord. And you know what Abraham did? He told his servants, he said, saddle the donkeys. We're going on a journey. They went to the bottom of Mount Moriah, and he told the servants, he said, stay here with the luggage and the donkeys. Stay right here. The lad and I, we're going to Mount Moriah. We're going up the hill to worship, and we'll return. We're going up, we're going to worship, and we're coming back. He knew what God told him to do. But he knew if he had to kill him, God would raise him from the dead. Man, they're going up that mountain. I can see Isaac packing that wood. He said, Father, he said, we got the wood and we got the fire. We got the knife, but where's the sacrifice? Abraham looked at him and said, God will provide himself a ram. They got up there and he tied Isaac over that altar. Can you imagine this? Play this out in your mind. He straps him over this altar. And he raises that killing knife up over his chest. And God said, Abraham, Abraham. Now I know that you love me. You never withheld your only son from me. And God opened Abraham's eyes and showed him a ram hung in the thicket by his horns. And he said, this place is called Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide himself a lamb. And he did. Abraham and Isaac came down off that mountain dancing. I'd say, you talk about shouting high time. That was a shouting high time. Amen. You know, God said, Abraham, because of your sacrifice, because you love me, and because of your commitment, because of your patience, you've waited a long time for this boy, and it's proved out that you love me. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. How many of you know that the Lord's got the ability to bless us even though we've waited a long time? Even though we've waited a long time. I believe this speaks volumes not just for me and the ministries of this church, But this speaks volumes to our people and people under the sound of my voice. There's times our patience, we've waited till our patience wear thin. Amen. But I believe God spoke to me and told me that the year 2024 is going to be a year of hope, a year of the favor of God. God has looked at our labor of love. He's seen our steadfastness. He's seen our commitment. He sees our brotherhood. He sees that we really do love each other. We really love him and love each other. And we love our community. And we love outreach. He knows in our heart we're yearning to do more and more and more for the Lord. He knows that the yearning of our heart, that's the longing of our soul to accomplish more and more for the Lord in this Whitewater Valley. God sees. He sees that. How many know that God has got eyes that can look right down into the depth of your soul, read every thought, even afar off? Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. You know, the angel of the Lord called Abraham out, called him out of heaven, called him out from heaven the second time. And he said, Abraham, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, that in blessing I will bless thee. And then he went on to say, in multiplying I will multiply thee. As the stars of the sky and as the sand of the seashore, your seed's going to be. I feel like prophesying this morning. I believe that blessing of Abraham is on me. I believe that blessing of Abraham is on the ministries of this church and on our people. God sees. God knows every setback, every heartache. God knows every attack of Satan. It looked bad for Job for a while. But after he suffered a while, he came forth with double. Let me tell you something. I believe with all of my heart that the blessing of Abraham is on us here this morning. Let me tell you how the blessing of Abraham falls. If you looked at Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 8, Paul said that, he said that of the promise, God preached before the gospel unto Abraham, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. I want to tell you, the blessing of Abraham is as rich and real today as it was when he first offered Isaac and God first spoke the word of blessing and multiplication. It's still real, and for you and I, it's real in Christ Jesus the Lord. Give the Lord some hallelujah in the house. You know what I think about the blessing of Abraham? Absolutely. It's on us. It's on us. Abraham was obedient. And God blessed his obedience. You know, while you're being obedient and while you're being committed and making the sacrifice to come out to church, to bring your children, to teach and train them that we can gather up, God's monitoring all that. God monitors every aspect of our life and commitment. He did Abraham. And he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you with an oath. Scripture says that to swear by himself is the strongest, most solemn oath and confirmation God could possibly give or make. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you favor. He went on to say, it's going to be a multiplication. You know, H.C. LaPointe, great theologian, he said, I will most abundantly bless thee. I will most abundantly bless thee. I believe that's what God wants me to tell you this morning. He wants to bless you. He wants you to get your life in order to where you can be blessed, and he wants to bless you. You know, I'm thinking about what the scripture said. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him, we're going to be glorified together. I want to look at the multiplication here. Multiplication, posterity. He says to Abraham, in multiplying, I will multiply thee as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the seashore. I'm going to multiply thee. Your seed is going to be innumerable. God wants our seed to be like the seed of Abraham, innumerable. I want to reach as many souls as I can. I want you to reach as many souls as you can. And this is what our worship should be about. This is what our labor should work for. We are laboring for a harvest. We're not here just to take up space. We're not here just to sit on our laurels. We are here to reach souls for Christ. And we're doing it. And we're not the only ministry doing it. Ministries across the continent, the world, is doing it. Multiplication. Multiplication. You know what I think about multiplication? Matthew Henry said, those that are willing to part with anything for God shall have made it, they will have unspeakable advantage. Those that are willing to part anything for God is going to have unspeakable advantage. Let me tell you something. Abraham was willing to do what it took, what God said. And he had unspeakable advantage. I've been willing, Mary and I and our family, to part with whatever we had to for the ministry of reconciliation. I can remember when I left that GM job, 1987, July of 87, that was a good job, a job we really needed. But God said, for a long time, he was pulling at me. I tried different times to do it on my own, couldn't do it. Pulling at me. Leave secular work, leave the job. Go fully to the ministry, just live by the ministry. That's a big sacrifice. There's people said, man, the guy's lost his mind. Brother Browning sat there one night during COVID season. He said, I heard people say that preacher has lost his mind. He's got a big family and he walked off from that job. He's lost his mind. Let me tell you something. People would have said of Abraham, you've lost your mind. There's times when God will speak to you to do things, and you're going to say, it's out of mind. I can't do this. I can't do it. But let me tell you something. I'm going to say it again. Brother, he will give people unspeakable advantage that makes commitments, sacrifices, commitments to him from the heart, because they want to see the work of God move forward. They want to see the work of God be strong and vibrant. They want to see people really reaching, you know, and there's never been a time in the history of the world where people's lives are so messed up as today. But we're born right when God wanted us to be born. This is the time God wanted me to be born and be a ministry of reconciliation. And you too. Yeah. Do you remember what Jesus said? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. Brother, whatever we give up for God, whether it's time, possessions, friends, popularity, positions, whatever it is, I need to bring to your attention, if we give it up for God and we position ourselves to be favored of God, to be able to work in his vineyard, God is going to give us unspeakable favor, unspeakable blessing. And then I want to say another thing. Notice it said in verse 17, thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemies. This is my 2024 message. Our seed is to be like the seed of Abraham. We're going to possess the gate of his, he possessed the gate of his enemies. How many of you know that God can give you the enemy's gate? He can give you the enemy's gate. When you possess the gate of the enemy, you control the city. How many of you realize God that turns the heart of a king one way or the other? He can turn things in the city. He can turn people's heart. He can change people's mind. I believe God is giving us the gate of the city. I'm claiming the blessing of Abraham. I'm not too backward about it this morning. I'm claiming the blessing of Abraham. I'm in Christ. I'm claiming control of the city. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You might say, preacher, that's some powerful talk. That's some powerful stuff. I can't think of any reason why God don't want to bless me. I don't claim I'm better than somebody else or perfect. But we give our life's blood for the work of God. And I believe God wants to bless me. He wants to bless our ministries here. He wants to bless our people here. And I believe God wants to favor us. And I believe God wants this church to grow. And I believe God wants us to have numerical growth. He wants us to have financial growth. And he wants us to have spiritual growth. I don't believe God wants us to believe we're a sinking ship. I believe the time is soon to come when there'll be cameras up in this pulpit And we're going to be airing our message out to the regions of the earth. We've already got invitation to go to Pakistan, and I'm told we're already in Pakistan with the gospel through our YouTubes. I want to tell you something. And I believe our church is behind me. I believe our church is behind us. I'm willing to do what it takes. I believe I'm looking at people that's willing to support what it takes to move this gospel forward. Not just abroad, but right here in our own territory. Move it forward. This promise of salvation that he made to us, this promise of blessing that he made to us, it's so prominent and so powerful that he said it's going to be like an anchor of hope. It's going to be like an anchor of hope. How many of you know what an anchor is? I know we all know what an anchor is. Amen. You know, the writer points out why people take an oath. The purpose of an oath is to end all dispute. When God made an oath, that was to end all dispute. In blessing, I'm going to bless you. In multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. He made an oath. That's to end all dispute. The oath is confirmation. That's why a person takes an oath. The oath is to remove all doubting. The oath is to remove all concern. The oath is to remove all arguing or disputing. Brother, our refuge is an anchor of hope. Man cannot live without hope. When man ceases to hope, despair about tomorrow seeps in. If he has no hope, he sees no reason for living. Hope is absolutely essential for man to live and work and have a meaningful existence. Have you got hope this morning? I'm full of hope. I'm promoting hope. I'm promoting refuge, which means shelter and protection from danger and distress or some enemy. It's a picture of a ship caught in the most violent storm, tossed sea, and desperately seeking the refuge of a haven or harbor. Believers are persons who have fled from the violent storms of this world, from the distress of sin and shame in this world, from the dangerous enemy of this world, Satan himself. Our hope in God is an anchor to our soul. That anchor holds the ship in the right place. And I want to tell you something. Christ is our anchor. He holds us in this certain place. His anchor keeps us from floating aimlessly about and being damaged or sunk by floating upon the rocks or forbidden shores. Brother, in the ancient world, the symbol of hope was spoken of as an anchor of hope. I got hope this morning. I got hope this morning. Have you got hope this morning? I want the Lord to bless us. And I'm believing him to do it. I'm believing him to do it. I believe we're going to work hard this year. We're going to pull together this year. We're going to labor this year with our head up.